I've had this here letter on my podium for weeks, and somehow I never get it given to Leslie. Not that she's not here, don't get me wrong. I get to preaching and doing things, and I forget to do it. And I think I've had that for a month and a half. I gave it to Leslie because I don't know who else to give it to. Let's put it that way. And so I got that off my desk. I've been doing that all week. I've been going around trying to fix all those things that need done before I leave for 3 weeks. And I thought I had it all done, and lo and behold, just like all of life, I was showing Martha around how to feed my chickens and which ones get what, and showed her my garden, and the weeds came back. Can you believe that? In the last 3 weeks, the weeds came back. Some of them are, you know, just like corn, knee high by the 4th of July. Wonderful set of weeds. But isn't that what life's all about? You know, if you don't tend to something on a regular basis, you have that weed problem. It creeps up on us. Some of us actually work at it. I think I do because I don't weed often enough to really get the seeds out. You know what I'm saying? I get the weeds out, but a lot of times it's already headed out and the seeds are on the ground before I get it out, or they're dry enough when I do pull it out, I spread them all over the garden, right? And if you've got Bermuda grass, all you have to do is till through it. And then you've expanded your horizons. It gets worse. And, you know, the Bible talks about that. The Bible tells us that if we get rid of all the demons in our heart and we make it all nice and clean when we turn around, if we don't refill that, it fills up with 7 demons even worse than the ones we had before, right? That's what the Bible's all about, is telling us how as Christians to actually live Christian life, especially Ephesians. And as we have talked over the last few weeks, for those that haven't been here, we've been in Ephesians, and we are now finally to chapter 4. And we're just working our way through there this summer because it's a good way for, if you're gone, you can kind of catch up. If you happen in, just take today's lesson. Don't worry about it. Because that's what the Bible's all about. Every section has a lesson for life. And today we are in chapter 4, starting with verse 17. And, you know, this idea, a lot of times if you're walking down the street, you see somebody, they go, "How you doing?" "Oh, I'm okay." "Are we just okay? How's your Christian life? How is God treating you? How are you treating God? Are you just okay?" And I mean that in the best terms, right? No, I don't. Is that all you want to be, is just okay? Because as Christians, that's not going to make it. The way I read my Bible, just okay is about one rung short of making it. We can't live a Christian life that's just okay. Now, Paul's pretty good at explaining these things to us, probably better than me, but I think we ought to stop and think about what okay really means. It's satisfactory, but not exceptional or especially good. I mean, think about it. What's okay? As verb in a satisfactory manner or a satisfactory extent. As a noun, an authorization or approval. I can't remember how many times when I was working back in the metal fab shop and folding stuff up and getting stuff done that the boss had come by, and I was always one of those guys that needed a pat on the back, right? So I always asked him how I was doing. Oh, you're doing okay. But the only time I ever knew that I was doing okay, really doing okay, was when I had my yearly eval and I didn't get a raise. No, I was just okay. I wasn't great. When I got a raise worth talking about, then I knew I was okay, right? I knew I was doing better. And I'm afraid that in our culture today, just okay meets the standard of most people. I don't care if it's religion, Christianity, our jobs, how fast we drive down the road. I keep telling Carol, we're okay. Just because that white line left her and she can't see it no more doesn't mean we're clear across it, right? We've only come up to it. That's why she sits in the back of the RV, trust me. And she watches YouTubes and stuff like that, so she can't hear me go, whoop. Now, she's got to feel that thing do this, right? But we're okay. We haven't actually went in the ditch. So today we'll start with the 17th chapter, or 17th verse. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. Gentiles. Today we would actually take that word Gentile out of there and put in sinner. Those that haven't come to know God, those that are not Christians, those that have not given their life to God is who we're talking about. Sad part of it is we have Christians today that meet all that criteria. They aren't sensitive to what God's talking to them. They aren't sensitive to how God is leading them. They're not really watching their P's and Q's or the amount of weeds that are in their garden. They're doing things because they feel good. So it's got to be right, right? We live in a culture where there is no truth. Not ultimately. We live in a culture that my truth and your truth don't have to be the same. Now, trust me, the only time that I feel that's really usable is that when my speedometer says 75 and yours says 75, once in a while those can be different. But as Christians, we can't just have Christian lives because it feels good to us. That's never stated in here. The problem with most Christianity today is the fact that it's all about changing our church to meet the culture. And I'm sure you've never heard me say this before in this church, but people, we are the ones that are supposed to be changing the culture. The culture is not supposed to be changing our church. We sang a song earlier that God is forever, right? He's never changing. This is God's word. It's forever. It's never changing. But because of hardening of our hearts, the will of wanting to be who we want to be and do what we'd like to do, and we make excuses for an easier Christianity. I'd rather say easier religion. Because like most words in our American vocabulary, even Christianity has lost its meaning. I was listening to the radio, and they was talking about different things that change, and one of them is Christianity. As we think about Christianity today and Christianity 40 years ago, the meaning of what that word means are two totally different things. Christianity today is someone that believes in God. I hate to tell you this, but atheists have to believe in God, because otherwise what would they be fighting against? You cannot not believe in something that isn't there. They just haven't figured that out yet. Christianity today has nothing to do with living the holy life. One good enough for God. Christianity today is making myself feel good about how I'm living my life. That's not what this says. That's not what Christianity should be all about. It ought to be about not having a hard heart, not having things our way because it's easier, not having Christianity our way because that's the way we see it. Oh, we can make excuses about why we do things, how we live our lives. But when it comes right down to it, is that what God asks us to do? Is that what Paul is asking us to do? I don't think so. Verse 20. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. See, Paul's telling them. They weren't taught that way. They weren't taught that it's okay to believe the way I want to believe. Paul didn't save people to come back and find out that they have decided to have their religion different than what he taught them. And the Ephesians, Paul's never met. At the time of this letter, Paul didn't even know these people. He's only going on what he's been told about them, not what he knows about them. You know, there's a lot of places in the Bible this talks about. In Ezekiel 11:19, it says, I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. God's going to change us from inside out. There's nothing we can do to make this change. It's a free gift from God. We do have to accept it. We do have to allow it to work in our lives. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him by in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You know, Paul only taught one thing. And that was the good news, Christ crucified. And Christ was crucified for each and every one of us. Christ died on a cross that we could be just a bit better than okay. Christ died on a cross that we could learn to live a life pleasing to God. Not about rules, not about regulations, but a life pleasing to God. One where we actually listen to God when He asks and talks to us. One where we actually go down on bended knee when we're sure we might have missed the mark. But on the same token, on those days that God gives us a little pat on the back, those days that He affirms that we are headed down the right road, that we have really done what He's asked us to do, we get those days too. Because we have a gracious God. A God willing to not only walk with us when we're in trouble, but one that's going to affirm our life when we do it right. You can't ask for anything better than that. He doesn't condemn us because we are not perfect, but He's going to affirm us with love and joy when we do. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. We're meant to change. Christians today are meant to change just like they have from the very beginning. Paul teaches transformation in every text he ever wrote. Our lives are supposed to change. Our lives are supposed to get better, more full of joy, more love. Why would anybody want to be a Christian if there isn't more joy and more love? Why would anybody want to be a Christian if our lives were so miserable? Because the real thing is, if your life is miserable and you're a Christian, you've only signed up for fire insurance. I have to pay the insurance on my RV out there. Boy, that's a sticker shock. I thought it was bad the first round. Second round got worse. Are we just buying fire insurance? Or are we going to live a life full? A life intended that God intended us to have? Or are we going to be so close to the fence, so just okay, that we're never sure exactly where we're at? Paul says we don't have to. Paul says we can transform our lives into what God expects us to be. And it's free. Romans 7:6 says, "But now by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law, so that we serve in a new way of the Spirit, and not in the old way of written codes." See, God didn't want to give us laws. God really didn't want us to do those types of things. God wanted us to love Him. And the Bible says, if you love me, you'll obey me, right? That's all He ever expected. That's all He ever wanted. Was a people that were willing to love Him for everything He was. For the joy and the grace and the love that He showed us. But if we look back at history, we do really good for a while and then we wane. And when things get really bad and they drag us off to Babylon or wherever they take us, Lord picks us back up, dusts us off, and puts us back on our way. And He's doing that today, every day. Do you think there was anything that the people of Israel done before they got drug off to Babylon that we aren't doing today? I hate to tell you this, sin's always been the same. The difference between those people coming back from Babylon and us, most of the time is we haven't repented. We haven't asked God to help or made sure He was in our focus the whole time. They dug David off to Babylon. He ended up in a lion's den, right? And God saved him there. We live in a culture that doesn't want God. We want what we want. We want to be selfish. We want to be those people that get to do exactly what we want to do, and we're going to call it religion, Christianity, whatever, anytime we can to make ourselves feel better. Paul says that doesn't work. We need to transform. Inside out. No matter what we look like on the outside, doesn't make any difference. Christ would say we're whitewashed too. Just making it look good. To be made in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Like God. All we have to do is listen. He's more than willing to walk with us, guide us, protect us, straighten us out once in a while when we're goofing it up. But He's our Father. He's going to do it with love and justice. He's going to allow us to be His people because He loves us and loved us first. He sent Christ to the earth for one reason only. Die in our place. And as Christians, we ought to take that to the bank. Our mouths should never stop praising God for what He's done for us. People around us ought to see by the way we live and the joy we have and the love we have for one another that we are Christians. Not because we say so. Because we have been transformed from the inside out. And we're not just okay. We're good to go. Leave you with one more thing that Paul wrote. Romans 12:2. This is what I want you to think about over the week. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Let me read that again. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Then you will be able to test and approve what God is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. We have to let God change us. The inside out. And in the process, the Holy Spirit will teach us, help us understand, help us to transform into God's likeness. Let us pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, we come to you and we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to come and to be your people. We thank you that you will take us wherever we're at, that you'll walk with us no matter where in this struggle we're at. We all transform at different rates. We all grow in maturity. And we're all in different steps. And so we ask, Lord, that you walk with us. That you do what you tell us you'll do, and that's transform us. That we can be more joyful, have more love, and more grace for those around us. Because we are Christians. Because we do allow you to change us, to transform us. Help us not to be just okay. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.